Lord, we just thank you for the time that we're going to have tonight, because you're going to be amongst us. You're going to fill us up with your Holy Spirit, Lord. And it's just going to be an awesome time in you, Father, with the revelations that you have for us, Lord, that it's going to come forward in the teachings, the word that you have, Lord, and testimonies and praises, Lord. We just thank you for that, Lord. And we thank you for answering our prayers too, Lord, that every time that we pray and we get answers to it, because we have the faith that you've given us, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that tonight is going to be a special night, Lord, that your Holy Spirit is going to move between all and amongst all of us, Lord. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless us, Lord. Bless this conference call tonight, this fellowship tonight. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Well, all right. It's been a wonderful day here in the Tennessee Valley, and it's been an awesome time. Sun's been shining. Enemies try to do everything he can to mess up the sunshine, but we're praying against it, and God's answering our call. Thank you, Lord. Hey, Greg.
Hey, Michael. How you doing?
I'm blessed, brother. So let's go ahead and get started and ask if anybody has any prayer requests or would like to pray about something that's on their mind. Just go right ahead.
I'd like to pray for one of my neighbors. She has fibromyalgia, so she doesn't get out of her care very much. She's always hurting in their muscles and in her legs and arms. We prayed as faithfully as we thought we were able. We prayed with all our heart, and it didn't affect the change in her. I'm praying that she gets free from this fibromyalgia. She's got her pen down, and it's sure discouraging to pray and see the shape still continuing. So, I'd like to pray for her.
Yeah, that's okay. Is she a believer, Wade?
Yes, she is. Well, she's faithful. She prays for things, and the Lord, she receives them from the Lord. But she's got a couple little things going on that really don't belong in the church, in the body of Christ. But I don't know.
You want to pray for her?
Yes, I do. Dear Lord Jesus, pray for Miss Leah, Lord, for her fibromyalgia, Lord, and her diabetes, whatever the devil's trying to do to her, Lord. Heal her. Heal her of the shakes and the pain that she has with the fibromyalgia, Lord, and help her to be able to walk better. In Jesus' name. Help her to rejoice to see her prayers, our prayers answered, Lord, and us too, Lord. We would like to see her walking without pain and in trouble. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Lord, we just thank you for opening her eyes up to the truth of the gospel. And Lord, we just thank you that that spirit of fibromyalgia is gone. We command it to be gone in the name of Jesus. We command that spirit of diabetes to go from her body in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we just ask and we pray that you do a mighty work in that woman in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, that the next time we're going to hear of a good report from her, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that you're going to place it in Wade's heart to speak to her about what the word says about healing. And gosh, we just thank you that you're going to heal her and turn her around in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. All right. Anyone else? Is that all, Wade?
Well, there is. We had prayed for her. We were with. We were doing the. What do they call it? With. John G. Lake Ministry, Curry Blake. Is that his name? I know you know his name. Anyways, we were doing that, and we went out to pray for people. And when we prayed for the lady with fibromyalgia, she got up, she was healed, and she had no problem for 2 days. But then it came back. And ever since then, I've had trouble believing for her healing. So that's part of it. And also, she's got bad arthritis, too. So the enemy has come against her pretty badly. She's got some misgivings about how to occupy her time. You know, I need to better occupy my time too, redeem the time. But we do go around and see if we can redeem the time. So, but the days.
What happens a lot of times when people get healed is that spirit will go out there and come back and check to see if you filled it up with the word and faith. And if you're not filled up with faith at that time and you don't rebuke that devil when he comes back, then he's got room to come in. He's got a door open, and he'll jump right in there and bring it right back on you. So you've got to be very vigilant and being on the offensive all the time. When the first sign of something comes back to you, you start rebuking that devil in the name of Jesus, and he's got to go. I mean, the word says it, and if the word says it, he's got to do it. So yes. you might mention that to this lady.
Well, she's got a couple things going on that are, if not witchcraft, they are very very out of order with Christ. She reads the Harry Potter books, and she, well, she talks to her dead family, and I told her that was necromancy, but she's saying no. I mean, necromancy is when you try to make a buck off of it or something, you know.
Okay. Well, here's what I do. I just pray against it and behind the scenes and watch God. Watch God. Just believe that he's going to work in her life. And you'll see a change in her. You'll see a change. Prayer works. I'm telling you, it works.
Oh, amen. Amen.
Amen. Okay, anyone else? This is prayer time. Anybody need prayer or would like to pray about something? Don't be shy. Thank you, Lord. Well, all right. Has anybody got any testimonies, any praise reports they'd like to give?
Hi, Brother Michael.
Hey.
Good morning.
Yeah, it's Nora.
Yeah, hi, Nora. Joe.
I would just like to praise the Lord. Last week when you prayed for me for a tongue, the Lord answered your prayers, and just later that day he did give me a tongue, so I just want to worship and praise him for it. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Yeah, we prayed for Nora last week to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and apparently she did. I guess they had to go on off. It's 3:00 over there in the morning.
No, we're still here.
Oh, are you? Okay. All right. I'm trying to figure out where you are.
We'll be.
Okay. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, anyone else with a testimony of God's greatness and his grace and his mercy in our lives? Hey, Slade.
Hey, sir. How you doing? I know. when everybody gets through there with their testimony, though, I would like to bring something up, okay?
Okay.
All right, thank you.
You bet. Anybody got a testimony or a praise report?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
And I received prayer last week, and I wanted some of that same excitement that Tamika had, and she prayed for me. And I definitely got it this morning. In my prayer time, it was just so awesome, and God opened up my eyes to some things in the Bible, and it was just so awesome. And then I got healed of I've been having this nausea thing off and on for a couple of years. And I had it this morning, and I felt really weak, and then during my worship time, the Lord just healed me, and I really think that he is using that to draw me to him, because I had just been so kind of, it sounds awful, but kind of bored. And I know, because I know I should be really excited, because I'm living in the most exciting times that the world has ever seen or will ever see. And I was just feeling guilty about feeling bored. And but God just really revved me up this morning, and I was healed, and I was able to do my housework that I had to do today, and just everything. I was full of energy, and I was just praising God, and I was able to testify to a friend of mine that, and it greatly encouraged her. And last night, when my husband and I were coming home to see a documentary in Boise about, it's called Patterns of Evidence, about the Exodus, and some, it was really neat. Well, on the way home, we were caught in some really thick fog, and I just prayed out loud. I just said, God, lift this fog, and immediately it got clear, and it was clear all the way.
Praise you, Lord. Thank
yes,
you, Jesus.
God.
What'd your husband think?
He thought it was pretty neat.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, praise the Lord. Sounds like God's on the move.
He is. And I would appreciate prayer for just vigilant. Yeah. Vigilant to stay in the Word. And God brought it to my attention last night, I guess, that I really need to give up two idols. One of them is entertainment. I've watched television, and I felt like I just couldn't give it up. And I've drastically reduced that, but I still felt like I just couldn't give up, you know, a certain show or whatever. And it really was an idol. And also food, just feeling like I just, the food had control over me. And so today I have not had that, but I just pray for strength that I will remain in this obedience to the Lord that just feels so good.
Amen. Well, Father, we just thank you for the work you're doing in today, Lord, and we ask, Lord, that you up her prayer life even more so, Lord, and we thank you for putting a hunger in her for the Word of God, and you're going to, I ask, Lord, that you reveal revelations to her all the time, Lord, that she would get that hidden manna every time she gets in the Word, Lord, and make that hunger in her grow and grow every time that she reads it and gets into it, Lord, and meditates on it. And Father, we praise you for that, Lord, and we come against that spirit of lust in the name of Jesus, lust for food or whatever, in the name of Jesus, and command it to go from her in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, that these idols have been taken down. They are down in the name of Jesus. They have got to come down. We command it by the power and authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. We command them to come down. And, Lord, we thank you that you're giving her the wherewithal to overcome, Father, because your Holy Spirit's in her and through her, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that she is an overcomer in Jesus' name. Father, we declare it, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for a new woman of God, full of the Holy Ghost and excited about the things of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. We had a preacher back in Arkansas. He always said, I'm motivated about Jesus. And that's the way I like to be. I like to be motivated about Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Praise you, Father. All right, anyone else? Is that all? Terry, you want some more?
That's it. Thank you.
Okay. God bless you. Anyone else?
Yeah, Michael.
Yes, sir.
I have a praise report. This is a guy who lived in our community, and he was a homosexual, and he got sent to prison for molesting young boys. And I went to see him in prison, and I bought him an MP3 player and gave him some of David's things so he could listen to it, and gave him a Sovereign God book, and And that's been about 8 years ago, I think. He got delivered from that homosexual spirit, and he's just steadily been growing. Not a lot at one time, but he has made progress. But he has a problem of wanting to watch TV all the time. He's a trucker, so he isn't home very much, but on the weekends, when he would have time to be in God's Word and do some reading in the Bible, he always watches TV, and he just hasn't been able to get rid of that. But the other night he called me and he said he canceled the whatever you get on the TV, you know, the cable. He canceled that, and he's going to try and spend some time in the Word this weekend, or in the times when he would be watching the TV. So I just praise the Lord that he finally realized that he needs to make that change in his life.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for breaking those idols, tearing them down, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing to all of us in Jesus' name. Lord, time's getting short, but people are getting the message, Lord, and we thank you for that. All right, anybody else? Thank you, Marla. Okay, anyone else?
Hey, Michael, I was going to share the testimony we received last night, that letter that Robin got.
Okay.
I'm sure David's going to probably bring it up, but I just thought it was kind of cool. Apparently someone in Kenya that listens, you know, to the broadcast, and she's been in contact with the ministry, and she said that her daughter had a dream. And in the dream, I guess the Lord, you know, told her that tribulation was going to start in the spring. And the interesting thing about it was that they live in Kenya, so they're on the equator, so she didn't know what spring was because they don't have seasons change down there. So she had to ask her mom what spring was, because she didn't understand, you know, when he said tribulation is going to start in the spring, what spring was. Her mom had to explain to her what spring was. So I thought that was pretty cool that the Lord, you know, spoke to this young girl, you know, as far as in a dream, and said that. So I don't know if that's going to be a confirmation to what David's been sharing or what, but it was, you know, I thought it was pretty awesome.
Yeah, well, you know, Eve's dream also came up with the man-child coming forth and the tribulation starting in the spring, too. So, I don't know. We'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah, and somebody else shared something last night where, I think it might have been Bill, where somebody had a dog that died. And they had a little 4-year-old girl, and they didn't know how to tell her that her dog died. And she, in her dream, the Lord spoke to her and let her know that her dog had died. And when she got up in the morning, she said that, you know, in her dream, that she was told that her dog died. And the Lord just, I mean, loved this little girl so much that, you know, he let her know and prepared her for, you know, the whole thing, and I guess she was fine with it. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Awesome. Yeah, I did too.
The Lord would have, you know, mercy on a little 4-year-old girl and speak to her in a dream. So I thought that was really neat. So we serve an awesome Father, man. Thank you, Lord.
Yes, we do. Well, you know, something else, we had a couple of supernatural things happen yesterday morning here in the house. At 3:00 yesterday morning, I heard, "Hey, Michael," and I live on the second floor and David lives on the first floor, and there's a balcony outside. And when David needs me or calls me, that's what he says. He'll say, "Hey, Michael." Well, at 3:00 in the morning yesterday morning, I heard that. It was David saying, "Hey, Michael." So I said, "Yeah, what is it?" or something like that, and he didn't answer. So I got up and walked out on the balcony. Nobody was there, I guess, you know, but it woke me up out of a dead sleep. I mean, I was sleeping good too, but then around 6:45, We have a prayer meeting here at the house at 7 o'clock, and we've got 8 or 10 people that come by, and we all pray and get words from the Lord and put them all together and see what the Lord's telling us. But just before that, about a quarter till, I was in the kitchen, and David hollered at me. He said, "Hey, Michael." And I said, and I come back in there. I said, "That's just exactly what you said this morning when you woke me up at 3 o'clock." He said, "Well, wait a minute." He said, I'm in a vision right now." He said, "I'm seeing a tree, and there's fire all around it, and it's in the middle of a field, and the field's on fire. Everything is on fire, but nothing's burning." And it lasted for quite a while, you know, like about a minute. And I don't know what that was about. Of course, you know, Moses was a type in the shadow of the man-child. And I think we kind of believe that maybe it was a confirmation at 3 o'clock this morning when he said, "Hey, Michael," and then he said it again yesterday morning at 6:45. When he called me in there, when he was having that vision. So I don't know. We'll just see what happened. See what the Lord's telling us. Things are happening. Supernatural things are happening. People are getting a lot. We're getting a lot of words. A lot of words on our people being turned around and coming to the Lord, coming back to the Lord, and a lot of words about the man child. Being anointed, and a lot of words about tribulation too. So we'll see what happens. Okay, anyone else?
May I share something, Michael?
Oh, absolutely. Go ahead, Michael.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. I can hear you real good.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure. Anyway, the Lord brought a really strong dealing in my life this week, and I felt like it's a real encouragement, and I wanted to share it if I could. You know, I was the scripture I shared the other day with the dear brethren in Africa, the scripture, such a simple scripture that we're all so familiar with, you know. Luke and Matthew both have the same scripture, just a little different. In Luke 11 it says, "And I shall not your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him." But in the one in Matthew says this: "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door shall be opened to you. For everyone that asks, receives. And to him that seeks, finds. And to him that knocks, the door shall be opened. For which of you, if you were a father, would have a son, would come to him and ask for bread? Would he give him a stone? Or if he asked for a fish, would he give him a serpent? Or ask for an egg, would he give him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall the Heavenly Father give good things to them that ask him?" And I was quite frankly stricken with the fact that the plainness of that, the simplicity of that statement, "Everyone that asks receives." And I thought, what's wrong with this picture? What is it that causes me? I look at some of these simple things. Anything you ask, believing, you shall receive it. There's like so many of these profound and simple scriptures, and I recognize that there's a short circuit in this equation in my experience with a lot of these basic simple things in the Word. And I started examining my heart before the Lord, and I recognized. You know, the other day I talked with the brethren about not knowing one another after the flesh, and to begin to discern Christ in one another, and not to just know one another after the flesh. But one part of that equation that's much harder to put your finger on is not knowing yourself after the flesh. And I recognize that when I read some of these men, Paul the apostle and James and brothers that. Subconsciously, and I would say this very cautiously, subconsciously, I look at this modern American thing that we're in, and how many years it's been since the purity of the beginning started in righteousness, and how now there's 2,000 denominations or whatever it is, and all kinds of mixture, and I just felt like I was more of a hybrid. And I'm saying, I'm being honest with you, what I was wrestling with in my own spirit, that it's a long way since the pure beginning when we had the apostles walking around and built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, the Church of Jesus Christ. And nowadays we've got, you know, such confusion and such mixture all around, everywhere. And I started recognizing that as I looked at some of these scriptures, that's down underneath, and I think this is very, very common with many of us. There's a thing within us that we know ourselves after the flesh. We've seen the mixture in our own life. We know our past history. You know, Paul may have had the title in his day, but I think anybody that sees their heart in the light of God's majesty will call themselves the chief of sinners, and I think that that's a wonderful thing. But I say that whereas it's a good thing to see and understand who you are in Adam, it's good groundwork for repentance. It won't take you beyond that. To know and understand clearly what we are in the flesh, the terrible capacity of the human heart, our nature that is dead in sins and dead in trespasses and sins, I think it's necessary for every human being that's ever going to be a true servant of God to have that foundation, because it'll bring true repentance when we truly see the terrible capacity of our own heart. But if we live there, we'll never go beyond that. We'll never go on into the perfection of Christ. And I want to go on with something here. You know, the Lord really showed me in my heart that I was, in fact, when you look at that scripture in James 1 when it says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavers is like a wave of the sea, driven of the wind and tossed. Let not that man think he shall receive anything from the Lord, for a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. And I just recognized that there was, in my own heart, I know myself too much after the flesh, and when I approached many of these scriptures, it was not with truth, the true faith of Christ. Many of these promises of Christ, I came as a second-class citizen. I came as someone who has made many mistakes in life, who's gone around the mountain for many years, that hopefully some of the young people nowadays don't have to go around all these years in the mountains. But God started bringing to my remembrance, you know, in the scripture, I'll look at one of the scriptures in 2 Peter 2, after it talks about Sodom and Gomorrah, and it says, for if God's, and he says, he turned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, and condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example to those who should hereafter live ungodly. And it says, and the Lord, and then it goes on and says, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing their ungodly deeds vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their ungodly deeds. For the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. I want to bring to your remembrance, without trying to put any negative light on Lot, I have to do this. Lot was, he called him just Lot. He called him, God knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. This is a man who was ready to give his daughters to the Sodomites the night before, a man who his wife was turned into a pillar of salt because her heart was in Sodom and Gomorrah, and when he left, the Lord says, flee into the wilderness. He goes, I want to go to another city. He didn't want to go to another. So he goes out, and finally the angel of the Lord said, okay, go to a small city. He goes to the other city. He ends up with his daughters, with the seduction of his daughters, ended up through incest, fathering the Ammonites and the Moabites, which became thorns in Israel's side all of their life. And he says, just Lot. This godly man, delivered godly man. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, you know, what's wrong with this picture here? And I started looking at the scriptures, and you don't have to, I could go on for 2 hours about the faults of men of God, because it's all there in the scriptures. It's all very clear that it's very, that God takes very earthen vessels. You see it in the faith chapter when he says, and time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and Samson and Jephthah. You could talk an hour on Samson's failure. These men were not the, why did he say Daniel or Joseph? But he goes, I believe with all my heart that the reason he calls himself the God of Jacob is because he wants us to understand something about himself, that God is working with mortal man. And when you're dealing with majesty, human beings, it says that God is no respecter of persons. It also says just the word that I shared earlier. And if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall the Heavenly Father give good things to them that know Him or that love Him? And the thing that I really believe we've got to understand, the Lord rebuked me for my unbelief. He rebuked me for knowing myself after the flesh. Because when we approach God with that shadow overhanging us of, well, you know, I'm just such a failure, I'm just such a mixture. I've said this a long time ago, and I've seen it, not only in my experience, but others. But if you just think you're just an old dog long enough, you'll start barking and doing tricks before it's over. What a man thinks in his heart, so he is. And as I said, knowing who you are in Adam is wonderful groundwork for repentance. But I want to call to your remembrance a scripture in Philemon that said the communication of your faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing that is in you in Jesus Christ. That is a profound statement. And we, the only way that we can possibly, I mean, maybe we don't understand the incredible wonder that we have access by the blood of Jesus Christ. When the Holy of Holies was rent from top to bottom, the veil in the temple that separated the Holy of Holies from the outer court or the inner court, whatever it was, that veil that the high priest would go in once a year with the blood of bulls and of goats and of calves, and would go in with fear and trembling, and he had bells around the bottom of his garment, and if they didn't hear any bells going, they could probably pull him out from under the veil dead with their staff or something. But because the bottom line was, it was a fearful thing to go into the presence of majesty, into the presence of the Shekinah glory of God. And yet God, we don't really realize the tremendous thing. God does not say, well, come on, you old worm, let's just get together. You can't come as a worm to the living God. You can't come as a low-life scum. You can't come as an old sinner. I'm sorry. You're either going to come in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, or you have no business there at all, and you will not approach majesty in your own righteousness. And I think many times, I have thought that I've approached the Lord, and I have not approached the Lord, because I have not come in faith. And it says in the scripture, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. And another says, see, we have a great high priest who has gone into the heavens. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. And then he says in there, see, we have a high priest who has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us come boldly before the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The Lord is not calling us to come as sinners to His presence. He's calling us to come as sons, adopted by the blood of Jesus Christ, adopted into the family of God. I just read this scripture now in Galatians. It's a little one here, and it says this. And because you are sons, no, it says this. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, you are no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God. Can you comprehend that? If a son, then an heir of God through Jesus Christ. Now, that is a very profound statement, an heir of God. We don't realize the efficiency, the effectiveness of the sacrifice that Christ made for mankind. We don't understand, and I think this message would be dangerous to preach to a cheap grace person, but that's not who you are. You, brethren, are people who are seeking to honor the Lord with your hearts, that are not looking for somebody to just give them a get out of hell quick card or something. You know, God wants, you're people that want to honor God and want to please God and want to bear fruit. And God is such a, bring to remembrance, it's such a rare commodity on the earth that for men to have that kind of a heart. The Lord says in Malachi, then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was made before him of them that feared him and those that thought on his name. And they will be mine, saith the Lord, in the day that I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a father spares an only son that serveth him. It's such a rare commodity on the earth for men to think and speak on his name that God makes a book of remembrance for those that do. And it says, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it until he received the early and latter rain. Brethren and beloved, we've got to see ourselves. We cannot see ourselves anymore in the flesh. We've got to be delivered from looking back and looking at our mistakes, because Christ, the equation never did change. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. That didn't change in Jesus Christ. God has provided a way that that old man could be destroyed by the cross of Jesus Christ, and that we could walk in resurrection of a new life within us while yet in these bodies. But God's answer to the old man is still the same. He's got to go. He's going the way of all flesh. So the soul that sinneth, it will die, and it died in Christ. And it's time for us, brothers, to acknowledge it's like that scripture that says, I'll say it again, that the communication of your faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing that is in you in Jesus Christ. Now, I just want to just bring a couple of scriptures to your remembrance when I talk about that vast subject. But here it says in Ephesians 1, blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Can you think about that one? I encourage you to look at Ephesians 1, Colossians 2, some of these most profound promises that we have in Christ, 2 Peter 1. And having predestinated us unto the adoption of children. Jesus Christ, by Jesus Christ unto himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. It's the Father's good pleasure that you would be his child, adopted by Jesus Christ. To the praise of his glory. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption, through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he has abounded toward us with all wisdom and prudence, brethren, in whom we have received an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him that worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. I tell you, and then you look in Peter when it says, in 2 Peter 1, there's a scripture that I want to bring to your remembrance real quick here. Okay, whereby are given to us, no, it says here, according as by his divine nature, he has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that called you to glory and virtue. And whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. God has promised us, I tell you what, if you went through your Bible and you took a little pen and you marked out every promise we have in Jesus Christ, the Colossians 2 goes on and on when it says, we are in whom you are accepted in the beloved, accepted in the presence of majesty, in the presence of the Almighty God. Welcome with boldness by the blood of Jesus Christ, in whom you are accepted in the beloved, buried with him in baptism, raised with him in newness of life, circumcised with him, with the circumcision not made with hands, the putting away of the circumcision of the heart. He says a circumcision not made with hands. Brethren, the things that God has promised us, sometimes I look at them and I honestly have looked at them and they're too big for me. I really don't have any way to assimilate the vastness and the incredible promise of what God's given it. And the only way we're going to understand these things is by faith. It says it's with the heart man believes unto righteousness. And it's through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. You cannot perceive God, his kingdom, his purposes with your carnal mind, with your natural mind. It's with the heart that you're going to get a hold of the reality of these things, and it's by faith that we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. But it's time for us. I think the key, in my opinion, to this whole process is that we understand what we have. The first step of understanding what we have in Jesus Christ is to understand what he did for us at the cross. And that Jesus Christ, it says, and he has perfected forever with one sacrifice, them that are sanctified. With one sacrifice, he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. Brother, the price has been paid, past, present, and future, for our sins. Does that mean we can live in sin because it's all been done? No, it can't. People that have that heart are not sanctified by the Lord Jesus Christ, because that when the Spirit of God comes in us, that same Spirit that was in Jesus Christ, his delight was to do the Father's will. He said, I only do those things which my Father pleases my Father. I do nothing of myself. The words I speak, they're not my own. The Father works, hitherto I work. There's a cry in the heart of a true redeemed person to honor God, to please him. Keep graces for people that are not redeemed. Keep graces for people that don't have the Holy Spirit of God. And they're seeking their own wealth and not the wealth of the Father and the wealth of his eternal kingdom. But I encourage you, brothers and sisters, we have access with boldness and with confidence and boldness into the very presence. He welcomes us. I think that's a very bold statement for him to say, let us therefore come boldly. I've come sometime like a dog with my tail between my legs. I've come and I said, woe is me, you know. And quite frankly, that's unacceptable to God. Because I want to look at a scripture in Romans 4. He says this, what shall we say that Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh has found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he has whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the scripture? That Abraham believed God, and it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh, the reward is not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David describes the blessedness of the man to whom the Lord imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed is the man whose iniquity is forgiven and whose sin is covered, and blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. He says God can justify the ungodly. And quite frankly, when God justifies any man, he's justifying the ungodly. The only difference between the most righteous man in the world and the most unrighteous man in the world is Jesus Christ. And the only difference in lifestyle between the most ungodly man and the most righteous one is the work of Christ's Holy Spirit in us. We have nothing to glory in. We come to God as blacker than the ace of spades, and the only answer for that man and that nature is death. But Christ took us to the cross with him. When he died on the cross, we died with him. When he was resurrected, we were resurrected with him in newness of life. And when faith finally mixes into this equation, because the scripture says we see they could not enter into the land of promise, because of unbelief. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Brethren, there's got to be faith mixed with the word of God. A double-minded man receives nothing from the Lord. But we're coming, brethren, not on the basis of any of our righteousness. We don't come because we're good guys. We don't come because we've done a lot of nice things. We come because Jesus shed his blood for us. Because when he went to the cross, we went with him, and the penalty was paid for the wickedness of our lives. And we raised with him in newness of life, in a new life, the life of Jesus Christ, born within us by the Holy Spirit, the very nature of Jesus being born within us and quickened within us. And brethren, it's time for a people to begin to acknowledge every good thing that they have in Jesus Christ, and to begin to approach majesty with boldness. Because I tell you what, if you come by faith, it says you come in the righteousness of God. You don't come like a dirty old, you know, just an old worm on a white carpet. I've seen that vision of myself, and it was good for repentance. But brother, if you stay there, you'll just be a worm on a white carpet. We've got to get to a place, brothers and sisters, where we see ourselves in Jesus Christ, where we see the effectual work that Jesus Christ did in us by the cross, where we get a hold by faith that we are the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. And when we approach majesty, we do it with boldness because we come with a high priest who stands making intercession for us before the Father day in and day out. We come in a righteousness not our own. We come before majesty in a righteousness that is the righteousness of God. And then we can come boldly with the promises of God. And then we can come boldly and say, Lord, you said it in your word. Ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door shall be open for everyone that asks. Receive. I looked at that scripture and it almost knocked me off my chair. I said, wait a minute. What's wrong with this picture? Lord God, what do you say? Everyone that asks me, everyone. Yeah, everyone that asks in faith. But brethren, the only way we can approach with faith before majesty is to have a glimpse of who we are in Jesus Christ and the effectual work of the cross in our lives and the resurrection life of Jesus manifest in our lives. And we begin to quit looking at ourselves after the flesh and begin to see ourselves in Jesus Christ as more than conquerors through him that loved us, and more than conquerors, more than victorious, raised with him, seated at the right hand of majesty on high. How? Not because of what you were, not because of what you weren't, but because of who he is, and because of the marvelous process of the cross, that he's bringing many sons to glory. And he was the firstborn among many brethren, and now he's bringing many sons to glory. And brothers and sisters, he's called us to be kings and priests unto our God. He's called us to rule and reign with him for 1,000 years, and for who knows how long, excuse me, I don't know all the doctrine behind. He's called us to rule and reign with him. I can tell you one thing without a doubt, brothers and sisters, that God is not going to have, we got a bunch of people, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. And brother, if you keep that confession, you're going to die an old sinner, and you're not going to be saved by grace. We've got to be a new man, resurrected in Jesus Christ, resurrected into righteousness, resurrected into every good work that he's created us to walk in Jesus Christ, resurrected to walk with him, to be seated with him in heavenly places. We are connected to that head, the living head, who is right now ruling over principalities, powers, might, dominion, every name that is named in the heavens, and has given him to be head over all things under the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all, and he hath put all things under his feet. Brethren, in Jesus Christ, we've inherited complete authority. We've inherited righteousness. We've inherited wisdom. Wisdom and righteousness, everything that we have. God's given us every treasure in heavenly places, blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. We need to wake up to who we are in Jesus Christ. We need to wake up to the fact that we are not that old bugger that we used to be, that God has birthed something within us, something divine, something majestic. He has birthed within us the very nature of the Son of God within us, and it's that righteousness that we're to live in. It's that righteousness that we're to reign in. It's that righteousness that we overcome, and it's that righteousness that we approach majesty. And I tell you, brothers, the scripture that says, forgetting the things which are behind, I press forward to the mark of the prize of the high calling of God that is in Jesus Christ. And as many of you as are perfect will be thus minded. And if in anything you are otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this to you. We don't need to be looking back, brethren. We need to be looking at Jesus Christ. We need to see Christ in us. We need to take and understand who we are in Jesus Christ. And we need to right now begin to take those promises. I encourage you, Ephesians 1, Colossians 2, 1st, 2nd Peter 2, so many scriptures. Everything by the acknowledging of every good thing that is in you in Jesus Christ. That's what we need to acknowledge. Acknowledging what we are in Adam is for repentance. But acknowledging who we are in Jesus Christ is for sonship and for being an overcomer in this hour. And I say the Lord is calling us higher right now. And we need to see things by the eyes of the Spirit and to see who we are in Jesus Christ.
Amen and amen. Thank you, Michael. Another good teaching there. Good preaching, good teaching. Thank you, Michael. Anybody got any comments? Well, all right. Has anybody got anything they'd like to share?
I'll just say something as far as what Michael shared as far as, yeah, I saw know no one after the flesh, but not to know yourself after the flesh. When you really look at that, because the enemy always uses that to get you looking at yourself or looking at who you were and thinking that's who you still are and not, you know, to get you distracted of who you are in Christ. So that was... that really set home for me. So I just appreciate that, Michael.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
I'd like to say something. Something that Tim said just triggered something the Lord was showing me today. And, you know, what Michael's saying is, you know, what came to me is if you're not seeing yourself the way the Lord sees you, you know, looking in the mirror and seeing the Lord, that means we're just being a hearer of the Word and not a doer of the Word. We're looking at our natural face in the mirror, you know, And that's just what came to me, you know. We need to see ourselves the end from the beginning. We need to see what God's Word says about us and not look at ourselves, not to look at ourselves like James said. You know, you're a hearer of the Word and not a doer of the Word. If you look at your natural face in the mirror, that means you're not changing. The Word's not changing you in His image because you're not by faith receiving the promises of God's Word and what it says about you. But, yeah, amen.
Amen. Amen. If I get a chance, I'm going to talk a little bit about it's God, because I was going to speak on some self-condemnation tonight myself, but praise God. Anybody got anything else they'd like to share? Slade?
I've decided to back off for tonight, you know, just listening in and everything. Tonight might not be the appropriate time, so I'll just hold it, and if the Lord asks me to release it, I will next time. Thank you, though.
Okay, bud. Yeah, absolutely. Whenever you feel comfortable, just bail right on in there. All right, anyone else got anything they'd like to add? You know, talking about walking in that faith that we have to do. The key is the faith, isn't it? The key to everything in the Christian walk is faith. And reconciliation, you know what that means? That means exchange. Jesus made that reconciliation for us. He exchanged His life for my life. And what do I got to do to be like Jesus? All I got to do is, like Missy was talking about, look in the mirror and see Jesus. And all I got to do is accept it by faith that person I'm looking at is Jesus living in me. I don't live anymore because Christ now lives in me. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I that live, but Christ living in me. And that life which I now live in the flesh, I live in faith. Faith. The faith which is in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself up for me. And by faith, you're accepting the sacrifice of Jesus, aren't you? And who's going to bring that to pass? Well, God's going to bring it to pass because by His grace, because you've given Him that faith that He gave you. Somebody needs to mute. Please. Please mute your phones. Thank you. You're giving God a substance that He's going to use to make into the answer your need. And what is that substance? It's your faith. And God gave you that faith because you were chosen by Him even before you knew Him. He gave you the grace to receive that very first faith from which you continue to receive grace. Psalm 65:4 said, blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causes to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. And that's grace to do and to be whatever you need to be, because we know He saved us. And if you need faith, all you got to do is ask for Him, just like Michael was talking about a while ago. Ask for it. Beat on the door. That's all you got to do. Because salvation in any form is not by your works, but it's by the works of Jesus in you, right? In Romans 4:6, it says, even as David also pronounceth blessing upon the man unto whom God reckoneth righteousness apart from works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not reckon sin. Praise be to God for that blessing, right? All right, let's look at Paul. Paul was feeling condemned because of his works over in Romans 7. And since he was condemned, he didn't have any faith, did he? Since he had no faith, he didn't have the grace. And that's a bad rut to be in until you lay hold on to that faith. He says in Romans 7:14, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. In other words, because of his very nature. He wasn't able to partake of that benefit of God. He wasn't capable of taking that benefit of God. He was telling us his problem here, and he comes to the solution a little bit further on down the line here. Verse 15, "For that which I do, I know not, for not what I would, that do I practice, but what I hate, that I do." And here's what it says. Paul was saying, I'm doing what I don't want to do, and I don't know how to be saved from that circumstance. He hated that sin, but he was in it, and it was overcoming him. And he wasn't getting no grace from God because he was feeling condemned. You hear me? He was feeling condemned. You know why? It's because when you're feeling condemned, what you're saying is, I could do better, and I'm not. Think about it. When you're under condemnation, you're thinking, I could do better. I should have done better. And Well, you're reckoning that you are capable of pleasing God, really. And it's only God who's capable of pleasing God. Do you get that? His nature is the only thing that pleases him. Our nature don't please him. When you have condemnation, you don't feel justified by faith, and that's the problem. If you're not justified by faith, you don't have condemnation. And condemnation only has one particular good use. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 27. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more a sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and a fierceness of fire which shall devour the adversary. Condemnation, listen, comes from willful disobedience. Paul was saying, the good that I would do, I do not. The good that I will to do, I do not. And the evil which I will not to do, that I am doing. You know, it says his will was totally set against that sin. So it wasn't a willful disobedience. But he hadn't figured out the key yet to receiving that power from God. What's the key? Well, the key is faith. Just like Michael was talking about. It's not justification by works. And Paul was proving that he was trying to be justified by works because of the condemnation he was feeling. Get out of the condemnation. Look in the mirror and see Jesus. He was proving that he was under the law, which was justification by works. But in the New Testament, listen, we have no access to God or his benefits that way. We got to get out from under the condemnation. Repent and get on back on the road, don't we? And so get out from under legalization. There ain't no way for you to be any better than you are. You do what you are, but you are what you are because it's your nature. And we need the nature of God to be given to us through grace. And we don't get grace except by faith. So we believe every time we go by that mirror, we will look there. There's Jesus. There he is. I have the nature of Christ in me. Paul needed to know that he was justified by faith because he was condemning himself, proving he thought he was justified by word. Romans 7 and 16, it says, "But if what I would not that I do, I consider unto the law that it is good." He was saying that the law is good and I'm bad. But what happened? What's the new covenant say? It said we're not bad anymore. That's what it said. We're not bad anymore. "Even so, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God in Christ Jesus." Listen, God made an exchange. Your life for his life. And you don't live anymore. Christ lives in you. See, as long as you're going to call yourself a sinner saved by grace, like Michael was talking about, you're going to be a sinner. And the truth is, that old sinner's dead, right? That's what Paul commanded us to believe in Romans 6. That old man is dead, and now Jesus lives in us. Now let's watch and see how your faith causes God to give you grace to bring it to pass. Ain't nothing you could ever do is going to bring it to pass. Only God can do it, and he will do it. And he'll give it to you just like a gift. He'll hand it right to you. You couldn't work your way to it. Never, never, never. If you were here a million years, you can never get it. But God will give it to you as a gift. And he'll not allow you to reach it any other way because he's not going to be your debtor, right? So we just have to accept it by faith. Romans 7:17. So now it is no more I that do it, but sin which dwelleth in me. Now here's what he's saying. Since my will is against it, that proves that there are two entities here, right? My will is against this, but my flesh is doing it. He says, now, it ain't no more I that do it, but sin which dwelleth in me. Whoa! We're schizophrenic when we desire to serve God, and yet we walk in the flesh. Verse 18, for I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but to do that which is good is not. For the good which I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I practice. In other words, the evil which I desire not to do, or wish not to do, or will not to do, that's what I practice. Verse 20, but if what I would not that I do, it is no more I that do it, but sin which dwelleth in me. Therefore, I, the one who wills not to sin, I am a son of God. I am righteous. That's the spiritual man who wills not to sin. But since Paul was continuing to sin because of his flesh, he said, it is no more I that does it, but the sin which dwelleth in me. That's when Paul received that understanding that when he desired to do right, God separated him from the sinful man. God separated the righteous spiritual man from the sinful man of the flesh. And that's what we got to do. 1 Corinthians 15:50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit corruption. You know that old man's got to die. You ain't trying to save that old man. He can't be saved anyway. It's your spiritual man who's saved. That's the one who is an eternal son of God. That spiritual man is growing in each one of us. And as the outer man is dying, that inner man is being renewed day by day. 2 Corinthians 4:16. Wherefore we faint not, but though our outward man is decaying, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. That spiritual inner man is taking the territory. That Israelite is going in, taking the territory away from the Canaanite, the old man, praise be to God. The spiritual man is conquering the old man with the edge of the sword. He's whacking his head off. He's taking that land, and our old life is his land. And as we walk by faith in God, that's what's happening because God is doing it in us. God said, I'm going to go before you. You go, take up your sword, but I'll conquer your enemies for you, and I'll give them into your hand. And that's what the Lord's doing. He's given this old life into the hand of the spiritual man, and his sword is the word of God. Ephesians 6:17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Romans 7:21, I find then the law that to me who would do good, evil is present. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see a different law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity under the law of sin, which is in my members. Wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me out of the body of this death? And here it is. Here is the answer. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And the numeric says this. It says, but thanks to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Paul's crying out, who's going to deliver me? He's looking for a Savior, and that's Jesus. That's Jesus' job, right? He's already done it for us. It's already been accomplished. Paul receives a revelation here that the sacrifice of Jesus already delivered him. In verse 25, it says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I, of myself, with the mind, indeed serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. So faith in that revelation that the Lord's already delivered him out of the body of that death, already delivered him from his bondage to the sinful man. That's what's going to give Paul that grace he needs to walk away from that old man and to walk as Jesus walked. Same thing it's going to do for us too. It's like the serpent on the pole in the wilderness. In Numbers 21:5, and the people spake against God and against Moses, wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, there is no water, and our soul loathes this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people. And much people of Israel died. And the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned because we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a standard. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he seeth it, shall live." And Moses made a serpent of brass and set it upon the standard. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he looked into the serpent of brass, he lived. So the solution came when anyone who had been bitten, when they got their eyes off of the bite and onto the serpent on the pole, then they were healed. They got their eyes off the problem and on the solution. They got their eyes on Jesus, didn't they? They quit looking at the problem and they started looking at Jesus. We've all been snake bit, and that's the problem. This old man is a serpent, and he is the son of the serpent. We've been snake bit, and the poison of that serpent is in us. And the solution is to get our eyes on Jesus. He became sin for us and was crucified on that pole on the cross, and we're free now, praise God. We died with him, we delivered, and we're healed, and we're provided for because of all the things that are included in salvation was given to us at the cross, praise be to God. So we got to get our eyes off the problem and on the solution, which is Jesus Christ. What does condemnation do? Condemnation gets your eyes on yourself, and it separates you from God. Condemnation, it's got one good use, and that's when you're in willful disobedience. But when you're like Paul, and you're not in willful disobedience, when you desire the power of God, and you just don't know the way to reach it, then condemnation is detrimental to your life because it separates you from Christ. Condemnation tells you, you ought to have done better. You should have done better. And it's the very opposite of looking like Jesus, isn't it? He's already done it for you. And Paul says in Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And using condemnation to force a person to change is called legalism and is doomed to failure. Somebody please mute your microphone. Thank you. If you're under condemnation, you ain't going to receive any power from God to change. Because condemnation is the very opposite of faith. Faith gives that grace that we need, that power from God. Grace gives the benefit. But if you're under condemnation, it's either because you feel justified by works, your works, or you feel not justified by works. You have a wrong relationship with God. Instead of a relationship of faith, it's a relationship of self-works. And some of us are trying to change people through condemnation, and that ain't going to work. We got ministers out there trying to use condemnation to make people change, and all they're doing is making Pharisees. And if you want people to change, there's ain't but one thing that's going to work. You got to put faith in that person's heart. Condemnation ain't going to do nothing but make them look inside, inward. Condemnation will cause them to get their eyes off the serpent on the pole and back on the snake bite. And the only thing you're ever going to have there is a curse. But if you put faith in that person's heart, if you give them faith, then they're going to have grace, and they'll have the benefits of the kingdom. So what we have to do is put faith in their heart. We have to speak encouragement to people. We have to speak the promises of the Word of God to people, and we have to help them accept freely who they are in Christ Jesus. And once they accept that they are righteous in Christ because they are justified through faith, then they can receive the benefit as a gift. They're going to grow up, like Michael was talking about, in a hurry. They're going to grow up in a hurry. Praise be to God. Now, I got all of that out of the real good news. That's the last chapter, and I'm going to tell you something. It is an outstanding chapter on condemnation and self-condemnation. And it's something that bugs a lot of people. They get condemned for a little mistake they made, and it just drags them down. And you ought to just quit it and go on. just like Paul did, and say, that was not me. That was the flesh in me. I am a child of God. I have the Spirit of Christ in me, and I am walking like Jesus walked. And go on and mature as a child of God, as a son of God, as a son and daughter of God. Praise be to the Lord. And I thank you, Lord. Yes, go ahead, Michael.
I'm sorry, Michael. I was just going to make a couple more comments. First of all, the devil's main business is the accuser of the brethren. That's what he masters in. He's been, for years and years, ever since the beginning of mankind, he's been the accuser. Jesus is the intercessor, and the devil is the accuser. So condemnation is a very familiar ploy of the enemy, and it's something he uses against everybody. But your scripture says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. And faith is the key that unlocks the promise of God. The promise of God is like a lock. It's locked until it's mixed with faith, and then it germinates in our lives and in our hearts and in our experience. And the one scripture that I forgot to mention is the one farther in Romans 4. When it speaks of Abraham, it says that Abraham believed God, and it was imputed to him for righteousness. And it says in the scripture, I think it's the 16th verse, it says, as it is written, I have made you the father of many nations, before whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, and so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he didn't consider his own body now dead, nor the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that he which had promised was also able to perform, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. And it was not written for his sake alone, that it was imputed, but unto us also, to whom it also shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up the Lord Jesus Christ, who was delivered for our offense, raised again for our justification. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we also have access by grace, or access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. But that whole process of Abraham, not looking at the circumstances, not looking at his own body, the inability to perform the promise, but rather counting God faithful to promise, and then he turns around, same with your righteousness. The only way we're going to get righteousness from God and walk in imputed righteousness is by faith. And he says, don't look at your own body, your inability, your own circumstances, your works. Look at him and count him faithful that promised, and therefore you'll receive the promise.
Amen. Amen. Anybody got any questions or any comments to add to what we're talking about here? No question. Everybody understands that self-condemnation is wrong. Well, that's good. Praise God. Everybody's walking like a son of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Well, it's a little side note here about Sarah and Abraham. As I commented last week, I've been reading that Angels on Assignment by Roland Buck, and he talked about what the Lord, he saw a file up around Abraham and Sarah. The Lord showed him, and he looked through there and he saw all these things that Abraham and Sarah did. They brought in people, travelers, and they fed them, and they cared for them and let them spend the night, you know, and they just did all kinds of good works to people, helping the poor. But what Roland noticed was that Abraham's mistakes were not in. Abraham and Sarah's mistakes were not in that file. And he asked the Lord, he said, Lord, where's that other book at? The Lord said, there ain't no other book. This is it. And he said, yeah, but what about Abraham's failure? He said, there's no failures in heaven. So praise be to God. Thank you, Lord. There's no failures in heaven. And that was that's a revelation. That ought to be a revelation to you, folks. God don't see you sin. He's looking at what your heart's doing. So if you don't have any, if you're not self-condemning yourself, you're all right. You're walking the road that God wants you to walk. And if you are self-condemning, or if you are condemning yourself, just repent, get back on the road, and start believing what God's told you in His Word, that you're a child of God. You have Christ living in you. And just walk that walk of faith that He wants us to walk, and act on that faith. Look, go by that mirror and say, "That's Jesus." Praise be to God. Put your hands on people and declare healing in their body, deliverance in their body, provision, protection, all of those things that God wants us to do. All right, anybody else? Come on now, let's hear some more. Anybody got anything they'd like to share? Testimony, praise, need prayer.
Michael.
Yes.
I was reading Rowan Buck's book too, and when I read that part too about Abraham and Sarah, that really encouraged me. And what came to me when you said that, it reminded me that I had read that too, but also what Michael was saying, that goes right along with what he was saying about, you know, he in the faith chapter of the Hebrews chapter 11, you know, it talks about Samson and all them that seemed like they were big failures, but they weren't. Like that explains why God listed them there, because He wants us to see that He doesn't see our failures, you know. That's awesome, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that's the way God sees it. Listen, God's grace goes a whole lot further out there than we even think it does. I'm going to tell you something. His love for us is unconditional. He just loves it. He loves us right on up till the time we die. And he's constantly giving us avenues to go toward Him. Even the lost ones, He's giving them avenues to come toward Him. And some do and some don't. You know, most don't. But He still loves them. That's just God, you know. And another thing that I saw in that book that was a real revelation to me is you'll bring more people to Christ by speaking of the love of Christ than you will about the wrath. And David talks about that often too, and he says the wrath of God makes them look inward, whereas the love of God makes them look at God. It gets their eyes on Jesus. And so that's something to think about. Condemnation turns a lot of people away, you know. Okay. Anybody got anything they'd like to share?
Hey, Michael?
Yes.
I'll add to that, because condemnation is, if anybody deals with rejection, it just comes hand in hand with rejection. Because that spirit of rejection, all your life you're being told that you're not capable, you're stupid, you're not able, you know, it's always coming against your ability and who you are, and you know, it gets you focused in on yourself. So when you do something, cause a fight, or you say something, or whatever it is that you really don't want to do, like Paul was talking about, what happens is all of a sudden something happens that you didn't want to do, or something, or, you know, there's strife, or something's happening, and you really didn't want to do that. It wasn't in your heart. And what happens is you get, you know, you see what happened, and you start agreeing with what your head's been telling you, that you're not stupid, or whatever it is, you know, whatever you've grown up with, those lying thoughts that are always in your head. And so it gets you focused back on yourself of what, you know, why did you do that? Why did you say that? Or, you know, you should have known better, whatever it is. And it totally, once you're focused on yourself, what happens is you start judging yourself. And when you start judging yourself, you're really in unforgiveness of yourself, thinking that you could have done better, and you're kind of in this judgment. But what happens is you get in you're unforgiving yourself. And I've kind of experienced this from time to time. When you get into unforgiveness towards yourself, you are turned over to the tormentors. It's no difference than not forgiving somebody who's offended you. When you're in unforgiveness, it doesn't matter if it's towards yourself or towards somebody else, you're turned over to the tormentors. And that's exactly what the enemy is trying to do. Is because once you're turned over, you're in confusion, you're in strife, your prayers aren't being answered, you know, everything is in turmoil for that time until you press into the Lord, repent, and get back on that narrow path. And so it's just a ploy. So, you know, if anybody's been, you know, dealing with rejection or delivered from rejection, that condemnation tries you, you know, is a way that the enemy tries to open up the door to get his foot back in to try to gain ground again. So, you know, I just want to kind of share that. And we had a brother in the Lord come over the other night, and he's real strong in the Lord, and he realized that he was dealing with rejection. And part of that rejection, it was just something that, I mean, he's been delivered of a bunch of stuff, but the Lord just kind of revealed that because he was getting into combination, looking at himself, and just didn't think he was capable, just didn't think he was, you know, living up to what he should be living up to. You know, he was, you know, just even having thoughts, because when you get into condemnation, then it lets in other spirits like suicide and depression and a lot of other, you know, a lot of other spirits come in there. And a lot of times the, you know, the door is just condemnation. You're judging yourself. And, you know, those are the spirits that come in and get you into confusion and all that. So it's all kind of intertwined with rejection, and that is all I wanted to share.
Amen. Yeah, you know, that spirit of rejection is pretty prevalent in American society. We're all, you know, we've been brought up to do our best, and people are always telling us to do better and to do better, and you keep getting that spirit of rejection because you're not doing what like you ought to be doing, and so on and so forth. I've seen a lot of people that's had to deal with that. And I'm sure that a lot of y'all have seen that too. But we need to know that Christ was put here. Christ went to the cross to deliver us of all of these things that hinder us. And we have reconciliation in that. We have him to exchange that his life for our life. And we thank him for it.
Amen. Yeah, that spirit of rejection is, I hate that spirit, but I see it in a lot of people, and it's just a stupid spirit. But the reason a lot of people deal with that is because we all, I mean, most of us come from dysfunctional homes, broken marriages. You know, we're grown up in a society that, you know, wants to make fun of people, tearing somebody else down to lift them up. So, you know, we're in peer pressure in school around these kids when we're young, and they're making fun of you and stuff like that. So there's a lot of things, a lot of open doors, you know, even in the womb, somebody that, you know, didn't want to be pregnant, you can get, you can get a spirit of rejection from your mom, or it can come down through the bloodline. You know, if your dad or, you know, somebody in your bloodline dealt with that. So there's just so many ways that spirit can come in. But the biggest thing is this society, this world is so messed up, and, you know, homes are so dysfunctional that a lot of people are dealing with that spirit, is what I've noticed.
Amen. Okay, anyone else?
Hello?
Hey, go ahead.
This is Andrew up in Canada.
Yes, Andrew.
Okay, I just want to give you something that happened to me a while back in August. In August, before that, my search engine on my desktop computer broke, and I was no way for me to do the Wednesday and Sunday night Bible studies anymore. So I went to work and started to use the computer that we share at my workplace, and was getting the 25 minutes for my half hour lunch, just listening and continuing with it with the time scale on the bottom and listening. So I was missing quite a few Bible studies there. It ended up that I ended up getting a laptop. I went to the store. I'm not a computer savvy, so like the computer I have was given to me. And so I ended up getting a laptop, you know, and it's all different. But I prayed about it, and I got one of these refurbished ones, so it was much more inexpensive, and it's a fairly nice one, I think, anyway. So that was settled. But during that time, you know, I had to take my cable internet off. You know, it comes in from the cable company, and also my phone, too. And, I've been praying about this TV thing, so the Lord gave me a vision. I was sitting in my chair that I'm sitting in right now, and because I renewed my internet, they resold me a higher cable where you get a new cable box, and I got a new remote for that cable box. And the Lord gave me a vision in the chair I'm sitting in now. It was a person that looked like my father, and I like his face looked like my father, but it was floating up in the ceiling, and it reached down, and I don't know really if it was a vision or a dream, and it grabbed this brand new remote out of my hand. And even in the vision or the dream, I said, he took my remote. And after that, I said, well, you know, I guess I better be obedient to this vision. So I phoned my cable company and to cancel the cable vision. You know, I still wanted the internet and the phone, but to get the cable off. And they said, you got to bring your cable box back to one of our outfits, and we have to make an appointment for you to bring this box back, and it's approximately a month away in September. You can bring it back, and this is the day that you bring it back, and then your billing date will start over again. And I just was wondering if that's what you should do, is follow the vision. And that's what I did, you know. And come October, you know, when they get all that Halloween stuff, and December, you know, I didn't have to put up with that on the television. So I've been without television, cable television, since September, and I think it was because of that vision that was given to me. So I decided to be obedient on that.
Praise God. I'll tell you what, we all ought to turn these TVs off. I haven't watched TV in 3 years now, except when I go back to Arkansas, my home there. But TV, you know what TV does? It takes away from your time with the Lord. And that's right, Andrew. That you follow that vision. That vision was telling you something. Telling you, get rid of that TV. we're in a time now where you can't afford to watch, sit down and watch TV for hours and hours and hours and think that you're doing God justice. You know?
Well, I really used to never watch it for hours and hours, but I found that what really affected me more was the news. Because I used to like watching the news a lot, eh? Now I just go on the internet and I read a bit about it, so I'm not an avid reader, so I don't read too much of that news either. But I do still have the VHS and the DVDs here, and I threw a lot of them out too, and because my children don't live with me, I'm divorced, I didn't want them I'm not using that as an excuse for these movies that I have. It's just, you know, they're hard to get rid of, and that's sort of like a stronghold for me. But, you know, I learned some stuff from it. I'm not discipling myself to them. It's just I learned some stuff on freedom, like the way they describe it is completely opposite to the way the Lord describes it in his Bible. Like they want you to fight for freedom, and I don't think you fight for freedom. If freedom is given to you, it's the Lord sets you free there. The truth will set you free. There you go. Yeah, that's it. The truth will set you free. And that, their freedom for fighting for it is just not there. It's not right. And, you know, they got a lot of stuff that describes freedom, and it's just opposite, like the freedom in with this abortion thing and the same-sex marriage thing. This is just during our lifetime they came up with these things, you know, and that's not freedom. That's a bunch of baloney, you know. And of course, you know, freedom to do divorce for any reason, you know. That's I was told that up here in Canada we have more freedom laws than you Americans do. And I think we got to investigate what this freedom and this liberty really is. That law of liberty, you know, hearing the word, remembering the word, and doing the word. There's your liberty. We're free. We're free from sin. Two times it says that in the sixth chapter of Romans. That's a freedom. Don't let that be given over to some other type of freedom. That's the glory of man's freedom. We want the glory of God's freedom, and he'll share it with us. And he said, you're free from sin. For whom the Lord has set free is free indeed. For the law, the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has freed us from the law of sin and death. We're free. We got to know this freedom. We think we know it because we're in the West, but I don't think we know it. You know, they have a place here down the street where people are hired to take their clothes off for people. And they have the freedom to do that, to express this freedom. That's not freedom. That's bondage in sin. And under that principality that's mentioned there, wickedness in Ephesians, you know, and that darkness and these authorities, this iron way that they're talking about, that's an authority, iron, brass before it, silver before that, and gold before that. And then you got the Assyrian one, and then the Egyptian one, and then the one before that, that was the Cain way to kill people, you know, they free to kill. No, that's not freedom. We need to redefine single verses according to the oracles of God and not that dictionary anymore. That's where your dictionary is, and then you receive it from the love of God. You receive it and you give it back to him. Yeah, that's what it says there. I think it's in Romans 5 and 5. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. That one's easy to obey. That's a love he gives you, and then you give it back to him. That's what it is, you know, in whom we have boldness and access and confidence in unto his faith, in his faith. We get the faith because Jesus is the corporate body we're part of. We get that boldness, we get that access, and we get that confidence. And you know, that's the word. And he gives us the faith. But and you know, sometimes we have to realize that we need that 3:3 of Thessalonians. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from the evil one. So we need that faith, and we need that freedom. That freedom faith. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, man. Good word. Good word. Yeah, that all of those things, you know, talking about homosexuals, they say they like their freedom. Well, I don't know what the statistics is, but their suicide rate among homosexuals is astronomical. That's not much freedom to me. That's bondage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They got all those parades too, and everything. They're free to do it, you know. And you know, they. I don't even want to talk about some of the things they got freedom up here in Canada, but some of the laws they just passed up here, it's offensive, and it's not freedom, you know. It's to behave the way
freedom to do sin, isn't it?
Yeah, that's basically it. You know, they're trying to put a turn on that. You're free from sin to freedom to do sin. Nope, sorry, you got it backwards. And you know, it's the witness.
The commit sin is the servant of sin.
Yeah. We got to look at that. With that, we're witnesses. We got to look at what the witness says. That's what we are. We are that witness, and we should profess the witness, and we are that witness. They try to confuse us with the other witness there. You know, that's a different witness. It's darkness. It's wickedness. It's not that witness. It's not your mother, and it's not your father. I'll tell you that much. And it's not the witness. It's on the other side over there. It's in a different lamp. You know, it's not the glory of God. It's a knowledge that's not right. We have a knowledge that's right. It's an understanding that's not right. We have an understanding that's right. It's a wisdom. That's not good judgment. We have a wisdom that's good judgment, and there's only one that's good. And it's the Spirit also that feeds those three. And they're all spirits too, the knowledge, the understanding, and the wisdom, and the fear of the Lord, and the strength of the Lord, and the teaching of the Lord. They have to be all angels. You know, like it's a message, isn't it? Knowledge is a message, and that's the witness, and it's an angel. And I don't think the guardian and the teacher leaves when Christ gets formed in you. He's there with them. But Christ is at the forefront. And we got a new heart. We got a new mind. Actually, I say brain anyway, because it's the soul and the mind and the heart that's in that brain. So we gotta find out that brain. You know, it's given to us. Well, that's about all I have to really say on the matter. It's what's that verse there where it's not void of power, you know? No word of God shall be void of power, you know? And you know, that's that love one too. Hope putteth not to shame, for the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. He's given it to you. What's wrong with that? Why do we not see it coming into us? We have to have it in us. I had this problem in my ankle, and you know, I think it's going away actually. You know, it's got to be the Lord who does it. So, it was just starting during this call here, you know, and it's, you know, I would get up and I'd be limping on this ankle of mine, and now it's, I'm walking around now.
Praise God.
You know, and you know, I have some other ailments, and I'm just waiting on the Lord. It's already done, though. You know, He doesn't have a watch. It's done for us. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Do you have something, Michael?
No, I just had spoke. I just said a scripture that dear brother reminded me. I appreciated his testimony. But that scripture that he that commits sin is the servant of sin, and that's who you're no free man if you're under sin. Because the Jews said that to Jesus. We're no man's servants. We've been free. We're Abraham's seed. He said, he that commits sin is servant of sin.
Amen. Amen. So,
Michael. Oh, go ahead, Mark.
No, go ahead, Tim.
Well, I just, you know, when Andrew said as far as the freedom, I was thinking, you know, the church thinks it's got freedom because what Michael Montana shared, there's over 2,000 denominations out there, and so they're free to believe whatever they want to believe. I mean, they can find whatever they want. There's a church that'll serve whatever flesh you want to, you know, how far you want to go. So we had a brother that's part of UBM shared with me or shared with us that he had a friend of his get saved and invited him to come to his church. So he ended up going to this guy's church, and it turns out to be one of these mega churches that seats 5,000 people. And he said he went in there, and this place was, when they had church, they shut off all the lights in this place, so the only lights that were, you know, going was everything going on the stage, and there was just, you know, spotlights and lasers and television screens and all this stuff. It was just total entertainment. But he said it was so dark in there that you couldn't even read a Bible if you brought one in, and he noticed that just, you know, nobody even carried Bibles into this church. But it was so dark in there that you couldn't even open up your Bible if you wanted to. You couldn't see it because there was no light in this church. And he pretty much shared that it was all about motivation. And what they were saying is that don't believe anybody that's saying that we are in end times. That they are, you know, they are misguided, that everything is great. Everything is better out there. You know, death rates of babies are down, and they're throwing out all this stuff to say that, you know, stay away from the people that are saying that we're in end times. And he was just in total shock listening to this. And he said they were blaspheming the word, they were blaspheming the Lord, and this was just a non-denominational, huge mega church. And a lot of money there. The cars all, you know, all the cars that were in the parking lot were all high-dollar cars. And, you know, he said it was just an amazing experience going into this church, to the point where they were, you know, he calls onto a video, and he brings in a video by, you know, the Gates Foundation. And it was the same thing, saying that, you know, coming against that we're in end times or anything like that. Don't believe anybody that's telling you these things. And this gentleman was in shock coming out of this church. It was just a total epitome. And he said that this is not a prosperity message. This is a feel-good, motivational-type church. And he said, you know, it's just the pits of hell. But he was just shocked, and there was, you know, this is a church that seats 5,000. So that's, you know, so we got 2,000 different denominations out there that, and, you know, that are not all, you know, teaching the word that was spoken from the beginning. So it's pretty amazing. just wanted to share that.
You know, Hitler used the same type of thing for, you know, mass collusion, whatever you want to call it. But he used the same type of propaganda and all the lights and all. And he was never, ever on time, but the lights and everything, the effects and all. So when he came on, the people were basically like in a trance-like state. So they accepted him for what he was saying and all. Anybody who does a study of Hitler, they'll see that this country is doing the same exact thing that Hitler did in order to get into power. And Hitler also passed laws before he started implementing what he did, but he passed laws to make it okay and everything. And anyway, real quick, I just saw what you brought it up, Tim, so I'm going to say it. I was a pallbearer in a funeral today, and a friend of mine was the, well, he's an evangelist, but he's the one that did the service for him. So he called me this morning and asked me to ride with him, so I rode with him. And got to talking about the Lord and everything, and he's basically what you're saying. He's saying that, and I'll say the guy's name, Kim Clement, you know, who's on TV and everything. He's saying, well, you know, Kim Clement's saying that the next 7 years is going to be 7 years of prosperity. And he's, you know, and I tried to talk to him and say, well, you know, I don't see it. And he just kind of cut me off real quick, and he said, you know, I'm not one of them doom and gloom naysayers. And I said, well, I'm not doom and gloom or a naysayer either. I just believe in what Christ said and what his word says, and I believe we're in the season. But anyway, he said, you know, he just basically cut me off short and wouldn't let me say a thing about it. And that's what I was going to bring up earlier, but I decided not to. But now that you did, I did. So thank you.
Amen. Yeah, they don't want to hear anything about what's really going to happen in the next little bit. So we pray for them. We pray that God would open up their eyes before it's too late. A lot of these people are going to be sent to FEMA camps and be persecuted big time. Some of them are going to come back to Christ, repent. They come back to Christ, you know. I believe a lot of them will. A lot of them won't. But we pray for those of ours and believe, and we'll see some results from our prayers. I believe we're in a time right now where the prayers that we have been praying over the last many years for our loved ones, we're going to see come to pass here shortly. The prayers that we've been praying, God's going to answer, and they're going to answer them real quick. And the prophecies that God has given us, God's going to institute them immediately, almost. And I believe that. I believe we're right into at that time right now. I believe God's power is fixing to be shown on this earth, and the light of the gospel is going to go out like a brilliant light. It's going to be so much light on the true gospel that the dark mega churches like Tim was talking about are going to come against it big time, just like it did in Jesus's day. It's going to interfere with their business, with their money flow, because people will understand that, hey, that's not the gospel. Here's the gospel. These guys got power. God is showing himself strong in these men and women of God, because there's healing power. There's deliverance power. There's provision power. There's protection power. And they're going to see it. And they're going to come running to that light like a bunch of moths after a light. It's going to happen. All right, anybody else?
Hey, Michael.
Yes.
Are you there?
Yeah, go ahead, Trish.
Okay, I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. Hey, you know, with what Slate was saying, I just want to share this. You know, what you guys have been saying is I was talking to the Lord the last couple of days in that topic, and I want to make sure, you know, with the Lord, that I'm not in any kind of works, which is my own understanding, you know, what am I going to do? How can I say the right things? Or just get my mind, you know, into mental works, which is not rest at all. And that can also, you know, tip us into judgment if we're not careful. And nobody wants to get judged unless it's for the blessings they're throwing out there, you know. But what the Lord put on my heart to pray, I mean, he gave me a real peace, was that for some of the people that, you know, they know who the Lord is, but they aren't really embracing. You know, they're still caught up in the things of the world, the things of their own understanding, the things that are important to them, and they aren't running after. They're not the Shulamite yet. Not yet. And what the Lord told me, which was really awesome, he just gave me such peace, is that when we start to enter into the tribulation times, that all the things that have been spoken, all the seeds that have been spoken into them, and in the hearts, our hearts, you know, when we're not in works, the love and of Christ, the nature of Christ coming out of us, and just our testimony, because we continue to walk in the truths of our understanding of who we are in Christ. And that they watch that. They look for that, and they see the peace that's on us. And what he was sharing with me is that he's going to bring that back to their thoughts. He's going to bring back everything that was ever spoken by anybody about the end times, about when we're in shaking times, and they're going to remember. And a lot of them that are sort of on that fence, a lot of them are going to look and remember. Unfortunately, you know, they're going to go through a lot of tribulation at that point. By the grace of God, we're going through it now. But still, they're going to see it. They're going to know. They're going to remember the seeds that were planted, and they're going to turn to the Lord. So he really encouraged me, and I was really excited about that. So I wanted to just share that.
Amen, Trish. That's the Lord's told me that, too. Told me the same thing, that, you know, the prayers that we've prayed, the words that we've spoken to these people, when the tribulation hits, or when tribulation hits them, they're going to call you up and say, hey, you remember what you told me? Tell me some more here. And you'll be able to give them Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Well, we've got just a minute or two left. Has anybody got anything else they'd like to talk about or pray about?
Mike, this is Linda.
Yes. Yeah, Linda.
Could we pray for Tammy again? I have not heard from her, and she's very responsible. I guess she's still feeling bad, and, you know, she wanted me to ask for prayer for her health and for direction. So could we just lift her up again?
Okay, this time we're going to lift her up. We're going to pray that spirit off of her.
Yeah.
And then we're going to thank God from this point on. We're going to praise him for the answer.
Amen.
Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we come against this spirit of infirmity that's captured Tammy. And in the name of Jesus, we command it to go from her in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you that we command the pain to go and any kind of symptoms of any kind of illness to go from her body right now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you that she is healed. We command every cell, every muscle, every organ in her body to be healed in the name of Jesus. And we praise you, Father, that Tammy White is healed in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Praise be to the Lord God Almighty for Tammy's healing.
Thank you, God.
Thank you,
Lord.
This
name. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Anyone else? Well, Father, we thank you for tonight's conference call and our fellowship. I'm just going to call it a fellowship. I like the word fellowship better than conference call. Lord, we thank you for the fellowship tonight. We thank you for the words that were spoken. We praise you, Father, for answers to prayer. We thank you, Lord, for the wonderful testimonies you're giving each one of us, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that you're working on the people that we've prayed about. You're working on the people that we've talked to, Lord, and that they are going to come in when the time is right. And Father, we praise you for a good night's sleep tonight. We praise you, Lord, for visions and dreams about the end times and what's going to happen. And Father, we thank you that you're protecting every one of us in Jesus' name. You've got us enveloped with your angels, Lord, and we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Praise you, Father, for all you're doing in each one of us. Thank you, Lord. Good night, saints. God bless.